A few weeks ago at General Convention, Bishop Curry gave a sermon in a morning worship that upon hearing it gave me a big smile and even caused me to shout amen to my computer screen when I was listening to it. If you haven't heard it, I recommend that you Google it or look it up. It's pretty easy to find. It's been posted in many different places because it was such a powerful message. My favorite quote from the sermon is this: sane, sanitized Christianity is killing us. Sane, sanitized Christianity is killing us. Going through the motions, the route, normalcy of life is killing us. It's not what being a church is all about. Now, this sermon was a tribute to some of the saints who had gone before us, saints like Harriet Beecher Stowe and Mary Magdalene, saints who, given the fact that they bucked the cultural norms, were considered crazy. He told his listeners that our church needs some crazy Christians, people who, and I quote, are crazy enough to believe that God is real and that Jesus Christ lives, crazy enough to follow the radical way of the gospel, crazy enough to believe that children don't have to go to bed hungry, and that the world doesn't have to be the way that it often seems to be. In a sense, Bishop Curry called upon each and every one of us to get in touch with the crazy part of our lives and to take a risk at being a true disciple. A few weeks ago, right around the same time that Bishop Curry actually gave this address, in church we read from the Gospel of Mark. And in that part of the Gospel of Mark, Jesus sent his disciples out in pairs to preach and to heal. He sent them with nothing but the clothes on their back so that they would have to rely upon the kindness of strangers and upon the goodness of God. This is the kind of crazy that I think Bishop Curry was talking about. The getting out and doing, the having to rely upon God and upon everybody for everything, the performance of acts of justice and love. It's crazy. A little bit later in the story in Mark, after the death of John the Baptist, we see the disciples gathered again. Only this time it's after the doing. It's after the busy. It's after the crazy. And today, the disciples are telling Jesus about all that's happened in their journeys, about all that they did. And it turns out that some of them were so busy, were so involved in their discipleship, that they forgot to eat sometimes. They didn't even have time to sit down for dinner. And so Jesus says to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while. There's something to that, you know? Rest, rejuvenation, it's important. We humans have been thinking about and studying rest for a very long time now, but it actually hasn't been until the mid-1990s that we only began to discover what a lack of rest, what a lack of sleep or a disturbance in sleep can do to our bodies and our minds. The Harvard Journal of Medicine published an article a few years back about sleep. And in the article, it highlighted six reasons people should get enough sleep. They are as follows. A lack of sleep can impair our memory and our capability to learn. A lack of sleep negatively affects our metabolism and our weight. It can lead to a lack of safety, especially when driving or operating a vehicle. It can result in irritability or an unstable mood. It is linked to cardiovascular health problems. And it can alter your immune system so much so that one could get a chronic illness. One could become chronically ill just by not having enough sleep. Come away and rest a while. According to the Farmingham Heart Study in 2000, women who don't take vacations are up to 8 times more likely to suffer from heart disease than those who do 8 times. Come away to a deserted place and rest a while. All of these health studies and surveys give us some valuable information. Rest does something for us. Rest is healthy. It aids in good decision making. It helps us to listen to our bodies, to live into our bodies. Likewise, rest in Christ is the same. It helps us find our heart. It helps us find our hope. It is what energizes us to be disciples. It is what energizes us to seek to be crazy Christians. Rest in Christ. Yet again and again, it is so easy to fall into the trap of a busy life. Somehow it has become a thing of pride to have too much to do. Excuse me. Somehow we have become people of jam-packed and over-planned lives. Somehow we have learned to build our lives around distractions. The focal point of our homes is our large television sets. We eat not at our dining room tables, but in our cars. We check our work emails at home. We check any kind of email in traffic or sometimes on the toilet if we have a phone. Our calendars live in a cloud somewhere in cyberspace so as to be accessible at the touch of a button. Our cellular phones come complete with a variety of notification noises so that we can distinguish between different stressors in our lives, whether we have somebody who is wanting something from us, from text messages, a reminder of things that we have to do, an email from work or from home, a falling stock, or a tweet. We have different sounds to tell us what we should be stressing about next. Now, don't get me wrong. I do love my cell phone. I am a part of the Mac cult that needs to have my iPhone with me at all times. Actually, once I got ordained, it became hard to leave my phone in my office because it's so far away. Yet, I think sometimes when we become so wrapped up in the distractions of our life, it's challenging to us. Sometimes we wear our weariness or our busyness as a badge of honor on ourselves. It's almost as if to say that my worth is determined by the amount of to-dos that I have, by the list of reminders that my phone bleeps at me, by the people who need me, or by the list of accomplishments that I can achieve in just one day. Yet living a full life, is different from living a life full of stuff. Living a full life is different from living a life full of stuff. And I think sometimes my preference toward distraction, my preference to look down at my electronic device or lose myself sometimes in a newspaper, my preference to do that over to look at my friends or my family in the eye and say hello, my preference to do my phone activities over walking my dog, could be a symptom of an imbalanced life, could be a symptom of an arid spirituality, could be a symptom of me trying to avoid what could be deeper in my life. It seems that it would benefit us from having a spiritual rest study as much as we have physical sleep studies. In his popular autobiography called Confessions, St. Augustine opens with a prayer saying that our hearts are utterly unquiet until they rest in God. Our hearts are restless until they rest in God. This morning, Christ is inviting us to find that rest, to find that place of solitary quiet where we can rest and recharge. Now, it might not look like hopping aboard a boat and floating as far away from work, as far away from family and home, as far away from all of our stressors as possible. Keep in mind that when the disciples got into the boat to leave the crowds from one side of the lake and they got to the other side of the lake, there was yet another crowd there. It's hard to get away from all of those. We might not be able to physically distance ourselves from it, but instead I think it looks more like finding a way to unhook from our earthly distractions, if even for 30 minutes, and simply to just be. Simply to just be. Simply listen. Listen to our hearts. Listen to the voice of God in our lives. Look up from our distractions at the beauty of the created world. Look into the eyes of our family members, the people who love us the most. Look into the eyes of our neighbors and smile. Offer a hand. Offer a breath to God. A breath. Accepting Christ's invitation to come away and rest is absolutely crucial for us who want to live and thrive in community. It's absolutely crucial for us who want to be disciples, who want to be those crazy kinds of Christians. Accepting Christ's invitation to us is absolutely crucial to our spirituality, just as physical sleep is paramount for the body. Spiritual rest, rejuvenation, and prayer, the emotional unplugging and resting, can make or break a person, can make or break a disciple, and we will be restless until we find that kind of rest. We will be utterly unquieted until we find that kind of rest. And although it would be nice to take a break and get on a boat and go off to a deserted island for a week, we need not go far for this kind of rest. We need only carve out small, deserted places in our own lives. Places free from electronics. Places free from gossip. Places free from temptations that draw us away from God and that draw us away from each other. And once we've carved out those deserted places in our own lives, all that's left to do is remain there and listen. Listen for the call of God to offer up our heavy burdens upon God, to give our lives over to Christ, who will hold it for us, who will take it for us, even if just for moments. Listen for the song of God calling us to perfect peace. Listen to the voice of God telling us that we are worth taking this rest. We have become very members, very family members of God. We hear it in Ephesians that we have been brought near by the blood of Christ. We're worth this kind of rest. Listen for the voice of God telling us to come away. To come away and rest. So to end, I invite you to open your books of common prayer to page 99. They're those red books with the plus sign in front of you, for those of you who are curious. And after a brief silence, after a brief moment of carving out time just to listen, let us pray together the collect for Saturday. Almighty God, who after the creation of the world rested from all your works and sanctified a day of rest for all your creatures, grant that we, putting away all earthly anxieties, may be duly prepared for the service of your sanctuary, and that our rest here upon earth may be a preparation for the eternal rest promised to your people in heaven.
through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.